Nubian. Nice. And I can bet you that no one else has a Nubian hyperdrive here.
Yeah. Well, here we are again. It's the Jim and Doan Show. Been a couple days. It's great. We got a good crowd. Good show today. Great show today, actually. A lot of things. This is Jimmy Doan at jimmydoan.com. I want to thank you all for listening to us today. Hope you're having a good workout or driving around in your car. It's been a few days, as I say. Today is the, what is it? It's Thursday, the 13th. Friday the 13th is on a Thursday. And as usual, we've got Curtis here.
Hey!
Engineer Eric.
Yep, as always.
And our special Thursday person, of course, EJ.
Hey, pleasure to be here. Sorry I missed you last week. I was in the hospital being operated on.
Whoa!
Thank you for the flowers and the calls and the visits. You guys are the best.
Didn't even know you were there.
Oh, even better.
Didn't even
realize my chair was empty.
That's right. That's how much you count.
That's what I mean. Holy cow, the value of this guy.
So we want to talk today about, today is the 13th, as I say. We've got email, which we want to thank our friends. We want to thank everybody who's listening. We want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to tell you in just a minute. We're talking about a little bit about the New Orleans beating, energy czars, gas prices, mandate from America, Tom DeLay's new project that's trying to copy Newt. A little bit maybe about some education, too. So this is great. Thank you all for joining us today. Let me just start off with some of the email we've got, and appreciate it. This is from, I don't know where this is from, a fan. We've got another fan who actually took the time to write an extensive letter as opposed to some of the usual hate mail. No, this is
the death threats.
Only take
about two lines.
No, kill you.
Exactly. And then they just finish up with stupid Flanders, stupid Flanders, stupid Flanders.
Exactly. Well, this is from David, and I don't know where David's from. It's interesting. The email is titled Cheers from Cleveland, and yet for some reason I have the impression that he's from Seattle, Washington. So okay. I don't know. But he's a teenager.
Really?
And yeah, a young guy who obviously is way ahead of his time. And he wrote a letter to the Iranian embassy. I thought it was interesting because as he points out in his letter, when the Iranians have an earthquake, the sky is flooded with C-141s or whatever from the United States
dropping supplies.
And of course he said, "Well, now we have a little problem in New Orleans. How about your whatever
support?"
And right. And I guess they're going to send a missile or something.
But it's loaded with water.
It's heavy water.
You thought
it's heavy water. Water.
Exactly. That's right. It's heavy water. And
deuterium.
That's right. That's right. So we're sending you water. Sending you heavy water.
Oh, you like this water.
That's right. You don't drink this water. Okay. So anyway, that I thought it was interesting that he, I don't know if the letter was facetious or not. I would have written it as a facetious thing, because you can bet that the Iranians, the towel heads, are going to be showing up over here with all the stuff that to help. Towels are good for sopping up the water. And I guess
that.
That's what they're used for, is sopping up the water that's left in New Orleans, I would suspect. And anyway, this again, when I was this kid's age, I was still writing with crayon and printing. So he's obviously way ahead of the game.
Well, he's obviously homeschooled if he's writing.
Yeah, that's right.
America.
He's
not going to public school.
Yeah, no. The government runs. Well, actually, interestingly enough, he did say that the millage rates and so forth, they've got problems with the financing of schools where he is. Surprise, surprise. We're going to talk a little bit about that in our own local down here in Alachua County thing, too, because as Mark Twain once said, God invented idiots for practice. And then he perfected it by inventing school boards. So, and we have a classic case here in Alachua County, and I can tell you, I've watched him occasionally on our government access channel.
I've heard you talk about that before. Ooh. Well, they're spending like $13,000 per child per year.
No, actually, it's only $11,000.
Oh. Hey, let's plug David's site real quick, too, teensploitation.org.
Yeah, teensploitation.
I love it.
Well, it's a .org, which is interesting. He used to fight statism in schools. So unfortunately, he says it's not up right now for whatever reason. I don't know. Anyway, hello, David. Appreciate it. And obviously, he's way ahead of the curve. So anyway, we want to say hello to him and the others who have written in. Appreciate it. Anytime you want to, we'll see what we got here on Jimmy Doan, Jimmy@jimmydoan.com. And we do enjoy getting the emails from you. So anyway, let's continue on here and talk a little bit about, let's see, the next item. What you want? Anything particularly you want to talk about, Curtis, first?
I want to talk about the copywriting thing.
The copywriting, okay. All right.
The copywriting.
All right.
Telling you, man.
We're going to talk about, okay, it's copyright. Go ahead.
Okay, copyright. They busted a bunch of people in Northern California for ripping off a bunch of music. Everybody considers this stealing right now. I'm convinced that in the future we will figure out that copying is okay.
You think so?
I think it is. I'll tell you, when you were a little kid, when everybody was 5 years old, and your teacher, you're writing your very first thing in school, and your teacher looked at you and says...
I was 13.
Okay.
And it was with a crayon.
And it was with a crayon.
And your teacher says, don't copy that. You could go to jail. Okay? I remember being told that as a kid. If you copy that and you don't give the correct site, it's against the law.
It's called plagiarism.
Right. It smacks of ridiculousness to a five-year-old, if you ask me. Does everybody know the origin of copyright law?
Tell us.
Okay. Everybody thinks it's the Constitution. It is in the Constitution, but that's not the origin. Before that, copyright law was promulgated when... Right after the invention of...
The printing press.
Exactly. As soon as they figured out how to copy books, everybody went nuts. They said, you can't do this. This is going to ruin everything. Everybody can copy easy. Now, what are all the scribes going to do? What are all the people who copy books by hand going to do? And so Queen Anne passed a law which said you couldn't copy the books using the printing press, that newfangled device. You had to have the old scribes do it. If you didn't, you had to pay a royalty.
Figures are royalty.
Exactly.
Is that where royalties come
exactly.
in?
Oh, my
That's
God. Exactly where the term comes
a
from.
Copyright lesson. And
exactly. You have to pay a fee to the crown to copy wow. anything, okay? And the whole point was to keep those scribes in business. Same thing happening today. Here we have all these companies that are supported by music industry. Their distribution is a fabulous thing. They built up these fabulous companies. Guess what? It's all been undermined by the ease of the ability to copy. Because you can make a copy in 1 millisecond. Now, all the people who had their jobs and copying and distributing that, forget it, it's over. So you need to let it go, in my opinion, and everybody will figure out eventually that copying is okay. At the very least, they need to reduce the 175-year protection we have down to about 5 years.
Well, that would be certainly a start. Now, let me ask you a question. So you've got band Y or whatever, and they decide they want to get rich. And they say, boy, this is a great deal. If we record a song and everybody loves it, we're going to get, a buck each for it. But gosh, if somebody rips this off, I mean, we're not going to get paid dork. So why would we record the song in the first place?
I'll tell you. First of all, we have to remember that people were making songs and artwork thousands of years before there was copyright law. Artists create
art. But nobody got to hear it. I mean, hardly.
They put on a concert and you paid to go see it.
Well, that's the other thing.
And you got Beethoven t-shirts and coffee mugs and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I love it. I get my first poster from my Beethoven concert.
Yeah, the bottom line is that these artists, what they would do is you'd produce it, you would sell it, you could sell as many CDs as you could make and sell, and yeah, other people could rip you off and they could copy it and sell it too, and that would boon your distribution. Therefore, you become a lot more popular band, and when you go play out, your concert tickets would sell for a lot more, and the big bonus is your art gets distributed. Your art, which is what your life is, that's your whole purpose for being if you're an artist, gets distributed.
Not in it for the money.
No, you're not.
No, we're in it for the art.
And think about this. The money goes to the people who own the copyrights anyway, which is the big companies. It doesn't go to the artists. That's why Prince had to change his name to TAFCAP. Because they owned his name. They owned Prince. He couldn't release stuff under his own name, so he changed it to the artist formerly known as Prince, his unpronounceable symbol, so they couldn't sue him and keep the money.
Ah.
All right. So the bottom line
is... I say, this guy is so good. I did not know
this. We should invite him back.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is intellectual property is not property, and I can prove it. I can prove it absolutely. The reason, the bedrock foundation to our property system here in America is the idea, is the concept. Everybody knows that property gets used up. Okay, that is to say, if I have a sandwich and you're sitting next to me, only one of us can eat the thing. Okay, if I eat it, you don't get to eat it.
But then if I eat you, then
that's
I right.
That's true.
That's the itchy and scratchy. When he eats the sandwich, and then the mouse pops out of the cat's stomach and then eats the sandwich that the cat just swallowed. Like the alien thing.
Yeah, I can't. I like it. I didn't see it, but I like it.
So the bottom line is you have to
have to have
rules. I don't
want
to eat that sandwich the second time anyway. It's going to look not going to look like a sandwich anymore. Well,
yeah, but at least it's hot this time.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, in the cartoons, you know, it just goes right down. So, okay.
So the bottom line is we have these rules to determine who gets to control the property. Okay, and all property, all regular property, all real property, there's real estate. You can't occupy the same space. Two different people can't occupy the same space at the same time.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. And so you got to have a rule to differentiate who owns the property. But IP is not like that. I can have a song in my head, and you can have the same song in your head, and it doesn't affect the song in my head.
My head just blew up.
So...
Yeah, exactly.
There's Jimmy's head just blew up. That was what was the name of that song?
You're obviously listening to somebody else's song.
That's right.
So anyway, that's my
virus.
Is, all you people out there who are quote unquote stealing music, you're not stealing music, in my opinion. You're simply taking advantage of the new technology, and ultimately you'll be vindicated. Thank you. That's all.
That's good. And you're an attorney, so you can defend. Now, we're going to give the. This is attorney.org that you can have people are going to
exactly.
defend
I'm
them
not,
up to the Supreme Court.
No, and I'm not advocating that anybody breaks any laws here.
No.
Because he'll be busy trying to keep his own ass
well,
out.
Well, I can tell you something else that actually, you know, being played in a band before. Earlier, like as opposed to like not maybe this year, but like the year before and stuff, it actually cost you some pretty good coin to go into a recording studio and bang something out. I mean, when you're talking with when I was recording, we had 2-inch tape, and you're recording 24 tracks. And, I mean, that studio was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And as we know here on the Jimmy Doan Show, for a paltry sum of, you know, I mean, seriously.
For nothing. Well, yeah, and if you listen to some of the other, which we're going to talk about in a minute, you listen to some of the other podcasts, they got like $4 in it. Now, they have salvaged a garage sale mic.
Everybody gathered around one mic.
They took it out of a telephone answering machine.
That's
a broken cell phone in half.
That's right. So anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. So in other words, that was a big deal, and of course the albums were kind of pricey. But I definitely see that I believe that you know, cheaper albums and the fact that people can produce more cheaply, you're going to see a bigger production of music because it is something that people do. I mean, that's one of your things. I mean, in life, you live to do things like that. You know, I want to be a rock star or something, you know, and so that's, you're going to write
music. Well, there's two things. Of course, that brings up some other points, and that is, if everybody can do it, it's like when you were in L.A., you have 10,000 bands,
right.
and you and I both know that there are several of the bands, I can tell you, having gone to Nashville, this is the case, there are some people that should have been signed.
Right.
I mean, they're really good. And they didn't make it because of the cacophony, as we say.
Right.
Because there's so many. Now you multiply that by 10.
Right.
I mean, some of the really good stuff is going to go by. Of course, we won't miss it because we won't know about it.
Well, what they'll do is they'll get themselves a garage band recording system. They'll record their thing. They'll post it on the internet. And the successful ones, music will be distributed widely for free. They'll become popular. They'll go out, sell t-shirts, bumper stickers, and concerts.
Right.
Coffee mugs.
Watch. Prince already releases all his own stuff online. That's the only way you can get a Prince album now. Go to his website.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Very interesting. Didn't know that.
Did not know that. Well, that really is food for thought, though, because what my thinking was, as you just brought up, even today, even though it's you can do literally with, quote, GarageBand, capital G, the Apple program, for almost nothing. You can, but let's say it's still going to cost you something. I mean, you're still going to take a risk of hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, but you're going to. I mean, if it's only going to cost you a few thousand bucks to put a studio together,
easy for you to say.
Oh, I'm telling you, I've spent thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You know,
of your money.
Somebody else's.
I was going to say, excuse me.
No, I mean it's true. I mean, and
I do have
things.
A contract here where I'm supposed to be paid back.
Have you looked at that recently? Have you noticed the ink has disappeared?
Yeah, I did notice that.
But seriously, everybody, people do that. In fact, I was talking with a guy yesterday who has a state-of-the-art digital studio that he just built, you know, out there for not a lot of money. And so people are going to do that. And again, like let's say that you, because they're going to be more, there's more studios that are going to get built. So you, maybe you don't have one, but you're going to know probably somebody that would. Somebody in the band is hopefully rich. That's like the best band to be in.
Right. Or as a girlfriend is a stripper. Or,
well, and you always have that.
Yeah,
that's a given.
There's no question.
Yeah, that's a given. That's right. Well, the strippers, that's right. And I'll tell you, that's one good thing ever, like that. A lot of what I love about strippers is more, the bands they support.
Yeah, more bands are supported by strippers in LA than any other source of funding.
That is truly amazing.
Which really means that corporate America is funding the band bands out there as they go to their strip clubs, and then that money gets turned right around and it ends up going to Sam Ash Music.
And who says a single dollar won't get you anywhere?
That's right.
I don't know. Well, okay, go ahead. Okay, well, that's an interesting point, though. So we might hear from somebody about that, because you can bet, as always, as we've said in the past, when a person's livelihood or ego depends on a particular mythology, you're going to go a long way to change their mind.
The Columbia people, the Sony people, they will fight like hell to keep
and have a battery of attorneys.
Oh, absolutely.
That will be in there, and they will have the most reasonable things in the world in front of the judge to tell why they should be this way and why it's engraved in stone.
Well, the law is right now it's stealing.
Well, that's true.
They will be able to redefine the very words we use on a daily basis in order to get their point across. Just as solid wood is no longer solid wood, particle board is solid wood because it's wood.
Ah, yeah.
See,
they do that with juices, for instance. It has to be
100% fruit.
Or it can be called fruit juice if it's like 92.3 or something. I mean,
Hawaiian Punch was 7% juice. Yeah.
Well, of course, that's what they. It always is interesting when you see something along with cheese product.
Right.
It says cheese in large
food,
letters, and then cheese food. Yeah. What is that?
Well, it's a food, and it was parked next to a cheese.
I love it on this again another Simpsons thing when he goes, was over in Shelby. Bill the other day, and I went over to Krusty Burger, but they don't call it a Krusty Burger, they call it a McDonald's.
Oh, no.
It was a total ripoff of that thing. He goes, yeah, they didn't call it a partially hydrogenized milk product frozen drink, they called it a shake.
Yeah, who would use that word? Where'd they come up with that?
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. It was strange.
It's strange. Didn't you know? I was hoping I was going to get the same thing.
I haven't seen that one.
That's
one of the classics. It's Lou in the cop car, and he's talking.
Right.
They're going to have a spoof of. They're going to have some more.
It's a spoof of Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, sir.
No, that's okay. They're going to apparently on this Sunday they're going to have more Kang. Kang is going to show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Emperor Kang.
Yeah. I believe they're going to have him.
Kang and Kodos.
And his sister Kodos.
Kang and his sister. If you can
figure out a better way to exchange protein strands,
I'd like to know.
Oh my God, that's incredible. All right, well, listen, can we move on then?
Yeah.
We're moving on. Let me just see here. What about the New Orleans beating?
Oh my God.
I put money on the guy, on the black guy.
You do?
I did.
Thinking about it, wonder if the cops didn't know they were being filmed, obviously, but still.
Well,
figured it out. During the process, they figured it out because there was a cop on a horse who was trying to position himself in between the cameraman and the melee. And then there was, of course, a cop who was exchanging, shall we say, ideas with the producer who had his idea around his neck and was showing the cop. And the cop used for an excuse to push the producer onto a car and smack him about, he said that he thrust his ID in my face. And I'm like, the dude, it's on his neck, man. I mean, what is
his love?
Was he trying to suck your tongue out of your mouth? No. These guys just lost control.
Yeah, this is just.
And they're all young, too, if you noticed, I think, the pictures I've seen of them. They're all young guys.
But it's hard to believe, though, that you just walk up to somebody on the street with no problem. I don't care who you are. Cop, young, old, whatever. I don't care. I mean, drunk. I can't believe you'd walk up and just start whomping up on this guy without some provocation.
These officers are not indicative of the whole group of people, obviously.
No question.
I mean, there's no question that this was...
Says you.
Well, sorry. I'll say two things about it. I mean, one is that, I mean, this kind of thing happens all the time, and normally...
You think so?
Yeah. More often than it gets reported.
I would doubt that. I don't think it happens all. I think it's pretty rare.
I've defended many people who've told me those kind of stories, and it never gets reported, and we always tell them you can't do anything about it because you don't have any evidence. No. Even if the guy comes in and he's all beaten up and bruised up for his mugshot, they just say he fell down.
Right.
And it's your word against the cop's word, and the cops win.
With the ultra cheap cameras, I mean, how much does a camera cost these days? You know, $12 or something.
They're
going to be everywhere. I mean, they're in the phone. They're in the everywhere. I mean, it's like the watchful eyes gazing down on the world in ever increasing.
Well, you know, it's stripping of our privacy.
Well, as somebody once said, you know, that London is the most videoed city in the world.
Right. Well, they have cameras like on every street corner.
Every place. Yeah. That's how they catch these people all the time. I mean, can you imagine being a cop in London? I mean, if you raise your baton in London, boy, you are going to, it's going to be on a video in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That was not the case in New Orleans. The question, what you're telling me is, I mean, that these cops just did it like for no reason?
No, it doesn't work like that. I mean, the guy was drunk.
No, well,
maybe they ask him for his ID.
No, come on, guys. Look, this is how it happens. I'll tell you exactly how it happens. When you're out there in the field and it's the middle of the night, you do not want to be interacting with four police officers.
Right.
You just don't want that to happen because you say the wrong thing. He probably did curse them out. He probably told them to stick their badges up their wazoo or whatever. And they decided, whoa, we'll stick it up your wazoo. Yeah.
I show you what we do with your stinking badges.
You know?
It's perfect for me to poop on.
Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you, I will say this. I'll say these guys were probably going to twist, and it's probably a good thing. And this guy may get off because of the publicity, but most of the people in his situation will go down for the types of crimes he was. Do you know what they charged him with?
No.
They charged him with a public intoxication, which is a state of mind crime, if you ask me. I mean, they're not worried about you being intoxicated in public. They're worried about you doing something.
Right.
Okay? Well, so that's when we get to the next thing.
Did they give him a blood test?
No. They did not give him a breathalyzer, but they can't mandate that he take any type of alcohol test unless it's a DUI charge.
Right.
So they wouldn't have given him one anyway. So they're going to claim that he was drunk, and they're not going to have any evidence either way.
Right. Then?
Then they charged him with public intimidation. Okay.
He intimidated the police, four policemen.
That's what I'm thinking, that it had to be.
Yeah, okay. So he intimidated. So he's standing there, and he intimidated four policemen who are armed
to
the teeth. Okay,
that's
fine.
Right.
Okay, he intimidated. Okay.
Right, and then he resisted arrest.
Right, and of course, you can resist arrest by, like, not putting your hands out in front when they tell you to.
Yeah, or not giving them your name.
That's right.
Yep, if they're in the course of a lawful investigation. And then battery on a law enforcement officer, which is touching.
Right.
Unconsented touching. And that's
a felony. Well, in fact, it turns out you don't have to touch them, do you?
No, you can cause them to be touched.
Right. I learned that the hard way, actually. It turns out that when they hand you back your driver's license,
if you fondle his balls, that's not right.
No, that'll sometimes will get you in trouble.
Oh, right.
Especially if it's a girl and you find out.
Oops, sorry, ma'am.
I mean, sir.
Sir S, whatever. But if you grab it too quickly,
you go.
Thanks a lot.
And you boom, touch
and you,
him.
And no, you don't touch him. You touch your driver's license and you yank it out of his hand.
Yeah, that's battery on a law enforcement officer. That's a felony.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
It's a felony.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they've made all these enhancements now.
Right.
They made that. It used to be, okay, well, battery was a normal.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, listen to what they are. Battery on a police officer is, of course, a felony. You'd expect that. Well, then they expanded it a little bit. Then they included fire personnel, fire and rescue personnel.
Mm.
So you can't touch them. Okay, then they expanded it to include clerks. Like the 7-Eleven clerk.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. Like, you know, if you wrestle with a 7-Eleven clerk, that's battery on a clerk. That's a felony. And then they expanded it to school officials. So if your kid touches a school official, that's a felony. If it's unconsented.
Oh, my God.
So should I just go turn myself in to be buried under the jail for the shit I've done for the last...
No, we have to fight. That's why you're listening to this program. That's why you're here. We're informing, educating. We're going to fight this. The bottom line is these charges should be changed a little bit. You shouldn't be able to charge somebody with resisting arrest if there's not going to be an underlying charge. And I agree that they could use public intoxication or public intimidation as a charge. That's assault, basically. But come on. He's going to intimidate these four officers, and I bet you they won't come up with anybody out of the tavern that was intimidated or assaulted or witnessed this public intoxication.
Well, let me put it this way: if four policemen were intimidated, I don't care if he was drunk and was swinging it. If four, then they don't need to be on.
They
the
don't
force.
Need to be on the force.
They
have
a problem. They got a problem.
Well,
if they were intimidated, I mean, it's like a gang. You know, when your gang shows up, who intimidates who? Hello.
Right.
I mean, he ought to be suing them, and I'll tell you, he's going to get some money.
Yeah, he will.
He's going to get millions. He might as well just go ahead and
he won the lottery.
Won the lottery. That's right. He won the lottery on this one. He's going to be retired here, probably in Florida. You know, on the intercoastal waterway in a big old house.
Yeah,
all paid for by the citizens.
Spending our money.
Yeah. No, it'll be Louisiana money, I think, probably. That'll be New Orleans.
Yeah, where do you think they're getting their money now?
Well, that's true. And that actually, well, you mentioned that. What are they spending for on hotels these days?
$11 million.
$11 million a day.
Wait a minute. There are like 500,000 refugees they're not going on refugees. What do they call them? Yeah, they are
losers.
No. Losers.
They're evacuees.
Right. Okay, former inmates, whatever.
And this is the thing. This is nice. The number of people in hotels has grown by 60% in the past 2 weeks as some shelters close, reaching nearly 600,000 as of Tuesday.
How many people left New Orleans and the area?
That's the question. You know,
you got a bunch of people moving to New Orleans. It's like, man, they're giving away hotels. Screw that.
600,000. Hurricane evacuees staying in hotels as of Tuesday.
Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Of course,
$59 average day, significantly more expensive than an apartment, and less suitable for long-term stay, of course.
$425 million.
Right. Estimated hotel cost by October 24th, $425 million.
Wait a minute. Now, that is like 10 days, for 10 or 11 days. That's $500 million.
That's $500 million.
Of our money.
Of our money is going to be spent on hotels.
And the Gators are going up there for a game in Baton Rouge.
That's right. And I hear we're not able to get any hotel rooms.
I'm never able to get any. That's the problem.
I'm here on the radio trying to get some.
That's right.
No, I mean, apparently the rooms aren't available, and it doesn't really matter because the roads are washed away.
They did mention on how you get there. I think you go through like Ohio. to get to the game.
Ohio.
Ohio Kasama.
The hotel program was intended to last a couple weeks. Of course, everything in government's intended to last a couple weeks, right?
Right.
But has been twice extended by FEMA. Now Red Cross officials are saying there is no end to the initiative, which pays for 192,424 rooms in 9,606 hotels across the U.S. in a range of cities as diverse versus Casper, Wyoming, and Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow.
And what does it take for us to run down the road here and claim to be a refugee and get paid?
Well, I was really wondering about that. The agency has told Congress that it expected to spend more than $2 billion to buy up to 300,000 travel trailers and mobile homes. Of course, those are tornado magnets. to house displaced residents.
They're going to put those along the coast?
Well,
that's where you put them, all right.
Below sea level. Yeah.
That's right.
And
they float.
They probably float.
Yeah,
right?
But they float.
But then again, your problem would go away when the tide goes out.
We can only hope.
We're not sure what's happening in here, but of course, there's some criticism that this is going to create.
No, criticism?
Believe it or not.
Oh, my. Our government? In actual?
They are setting up as many 30,000 trailers and mobile homes every 2 weeks, but just 7,308 were occupied. And then they got, I guess, four ships that they had leased. And
those are the cruise ships.
Yeah. So
do you get a choice of travel trailer or a cruise ship?
I wonder, because I definitely take the boat myself. But, I mean, I guess I kind of like boats. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, even if your trailer floats out to sea, it's no pleasure cruise.
Right. that's exactly right.
But anyway.
It's no boat. Maybe if you lash a bunch of them together or something. Let's float to Cuba.
Yeah. Oh,
And send some back.
Well, again, and,
exactly.
This is. I mean, it's pure. It's pure welfare. There's no question.
You think?
Yeah. And again, they are. What they're worried about is it's going to create these super concentrated slums and what they call FEMAvilles.
I love it.
FEMAville.
I live in
FEMAville, Louisiana. No, not Fayetteville. FEMAville.
Wow.
But I mean, seriously, how are they going to get out of this one?
Well, the thing about it is these are supposed to be like temporary housing, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so what happens? What do you do with 30,000 trailers when the people, let's say they all move out?
Sell them on eBay.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying they're not going to.
Well, these things weren't new when they came. So where do you think they came from?
eBay. No.
They were already.
No, they were new.
No, they weren't. Not all of them.
Huh?
Absolutely not. These trailers weren't new.
They weren't?
No. No.
They were.
You don't have. No. Because you have to think about it. I mean, first of all, it takes a while to put together a trailer. More than a couple of days that they've had since the hurricane. Secondly, you don't have 30,000.
They came off of some J.D. Trailers Park or whatever it
right.
was or something like that. Of course, the other thing is, are these motorhomes?
No.
No, they're not motorhomes. Are they like fifth wheels? Are they like these things you put up on cinder blocks?
Yes, they're that kind.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't.
I've seen photos of them.
Oh, have you?
And that's why I said they're not new.
They're probably not going to look new real quick.
Yeah, you can tell that much.
Well, are they maintained by FEMA as well?
Yeah, that's the whole point. In other words, they're setting up. What this is a massive government housing project.
Of half a million?
A mobile housing project.
Right now,
that's the best part about it.
It's a mobile.
It's a mobile housing project. That's the. I mean,
coming
a mobile
to your, coming
slum.
Coming to a town near
coming
you.
Coming to a slum near you.
Coming soon, that's right.
A slum near you.
It's like Road Warrior. They're all
right. Oh my gosh!
But seriously, I'd like to see some more information on this, and we'll have to.
Yeah, you're certainly going to get it from FEMA.
Oh, they'll be right on.
Well,
top
I thought. I was going to say this for the lighter side news, but I guess I'm going to say it now because I had a solution. I thought this was great, and almost the same part of the section of the news I was reading. It says Dugout Dick offers cave stays cheap. And this is in Salmon, Idaho. This 89-year-old retired construction worker began advertising cave stays in East Central Idaho for $5 a night or $25 a month.
Hey,
he's digging into a mountain.
Wait.
Dugout Dick.
Dugout Dick doesn't know much about math, does he? If it's $25 a month and $5 a night.
I don't know. Maybe he's just anticipating people going there for the night, but. It's pretty amazing. He says his dwellings can double up as bomb shelters.
Nice.
And serve for mining sites for people who bring their own picks. In fact, you could probably increase your living area.
Exactly.
You know, move more family in there.
Oh, that's right. So are they? I mean, these aren't furnished, are they? Is it caves to go or something?
If you consider lichen carpeting and carpeting,
could you imagine caves to go?
It's better than what they got over in Pakistan right now.
That's right.
That's cool.
Well, and that would be interesting. I wonder if one of these things caved in on old Dugout Dick. The cave stretches far back as 100 feet into the hillside and are bolstered by rocks, peeled fir poles, mud and straw. I don't know what peeled fir poles. I guess that's kind of a tree. Mud and straw. Mud and straw. Well, you know, God help you. I mean, if you have an earthquake, you know.
I don't think they're too worried about that. I don't see that happening.
That's a good deal. Well, what about the people, like, for example, these people just in the flood here, up when Tammy dumped a bunch of water up in the northeast, I noticed a few people lost their homes.
Well, that was like in New Hampshire or something.
Yes, and
of course, you don't hear much about that.
Well,
I've been hearing a lot about it.
You have?
Yes, lots.
Really?
10, 12, 15 people dead.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're kidding.
It's a mess. The rain has been so powerful, it's absolutely destroyed which interstate highway, that connection?
I don't know, but I saw it on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's 95 is up there. It's the interstate.
So, it's just done some damage to 95.
Off.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
I have not seen that.
Well, my question is this. Are these people going to be entitled to a free home and room and board?
It depends. I mean, did theirs get washed away?
Their mayor says that this is on the same level of disaster for those particular people.
I haven't seen it.
What if anybody gets displaced?
Well, exactly.
What level of disaster do you consider?
And it all comes back to the free market.
Right.
How apropos. New Orleans has set the bar for us. You know, a little damage to my house. I want to.
Well, let's face it. There are some people, but in all honesty, there are entire communities that were leveled in the New Orleans. There's no question about that. I mean, we don't want to denigrate or we don't want to make light of the fact that it wasn't only New Orleans, as you know, it was 100 miles on either side of it that virtually were leveled. I mean, flattened entire communities, you know, town of 1,200, and there's nothing, not even any sticks left. So that's
right. I think but even like going back to the free market system, you might as well just give the people the money and let them decide what to do with it. I mean, rather than having some kind of a.
Are you actually seriously thinking that you could give some of those people some money and let them? I mean, you would give them $35,000, and in 3 weeks, a quarter of them would have no money left, and there'd be some really rich crack dealers in the neighborhood. You know, I'm sorry,
well,
but
so
if that
be it.
Is
I mean,
the case,
but,
and then you'd have no, because then you'd have 20,000 people on the street hungry for crack without a place to live, without any direction.
And, you know, of course, you know,
wise.
My solution is...
Well, your solution? Kill them all and let God sort them out.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Usually my position.
A little culling of the herd. I believe in a firm believer in the self... The market system, the nice thing about the market system is it's self-correcting.
Right.
I mean, it does... You don't have to monkey with it. It'll correct itself.
Well, how can you draw a line between these natural disasters, the big ones, and the small ones?
Right.
There's no logical way to draw
again,
a line.
The same thing occurred, of course, when the towers were bombed, airplaned or whatever it is, and they came up with just jillions of dollars for those people. Suddenly, the people from Oklahoma City said, "Whoa, wait a minute, hello,
yeah, right?
You know, what about
where's
us? You know, where was our checks? Right?
Right.
I mean, they thought they came back after the fact and said, "Wait a minute, if you're going to give literally millions." Per person.
Yeah, it was... $100,000 to $1.5 million, depending on...
Well, no, there were people that literally got millions. I mean, there were a couple people that got millions.
Yeah, no, I read that.
And, of course, when you realize there was not only the government money, but there was a ton
of donations.
Donations. There were literally millions. I mean, there's like a couple hundred million
dollars. Anybody know the ratio of private to public donations for that or anything?
The private was substantial. Because that was the first one.
Right.
And then it always happens. You know, the first one, and then after that you say, I'll tell you, from my personal standpoint, I remember I went on PayPal and donated some money to something, and then somebody else shows up and says, how about over... I mean, I'm getting stuff in the mail now, and I'm saying, gave it the office. Hello, bye. You know, right. Forget it.
This is the equivalent of a giant United States-backed insurance program.
Exactly. And say United States, of course, it's taxpayer-backed. I mean,
right.
It's you and me.
Right.
I mean, I am paying the insurance premiums whether I want to or not
right.
on these other people. And they don't have the guts to come up to my front door and say, I need a new house. I mean, they're sending the IRS agents and everybody else over here with guns.
Oh, but they'll call you a greedy Republican conservative.
But that's the whole point. It's like they're spending $59 a night for hotel rooms when you can get an apartment for $425 a month.
Well, except that they're all taken. I mean, that's what happened in Baton Rouge. I mean, the simple fact is, and the market system did this. Of course, they call that, that's another thing. They call it gouging. Mm-hmm. As soon as somebody wants to, of course, we talked about that before, the I'm a not gouging thing.
Right.
The
instantaneous market adjustment.
Instantaneous market adjustment. We talked about on the previous.
IMA.
Not right.
Gouging.
That's right. IMA, not gouging. Right. It's the Italian for, yeah. So anyway, yes, we did that. But in Baton Rouge, all the apartments were taken like in a day.
Right.
And what do? You have to raise the price, I guess. I mean, that's what you should do, to weed out people. And then, of course, the people that quote, can't afford it, unquote, either go get the money from FEMA, which is me, or they complain.
Right. And you just live someplace else. I mean, your business is...
Well, of course, they have spread them around. I mean, they spread them all over the United States.
It's a disaster, you leave.
That's right. It is a that's right. It's a disaster, you leave. That's right. And it'll be interesting to see how the demographics in New Orleans change. And again, the market will figure it out. People are... of course, there's the race card is being played all over the place. You know, you don't care for black people, so you've driven them out of New Orleans, or poor people, or we have driven poor people, you don't care, yada, yada, yada.
You remember we were joking about how terrorists might have blown up the levee?
Yeah.
Well, I've actually heard that Farrakhan suggested that Bush or the white people or somebody blew up the levees.
Oh, my God. Well, that was those are the same people that invented crack.
Right.
Yeah, that was the...
First it was crack, and then it was a crack in the levee.
So cute. He's got...
Now, they invented crack because of...
Well, they wanted to eliminate black people, and they figured that they could sell crack. That's a white scientist invented crack to decimate the black community. On purpose.
So they could distribute a cheap form of cocaine, which would keep them all impoverished and addicted and everything.
Which is good for people because of...
Well, it's just a ridiculous
thing. No, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Well, it's a power thing, you know, right. I guess. I mean, good point. I mean, you think about it. Here you are a scientist, and you invent this stuff to keep... And what you get out of it is you get your car broken into once a week, and your car set your radio stolen. I mean, I don't think so. Right. That's not the reason I would be doing it.
Of course, the real reason that crack was invented was because when originally they outlawed cocaine, they included a specific chemical formula in the statute. So the scientists, clever, very simply changed the chemical formula just a little bit so that it didn't match with the statute. So for a decade or so, they were able to sell crack and not get punished for selling cocaine before they upgraded the law.
Right.
So that's why crack...
Well, now they've upgraded the law to what I call the duck law. And that is, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, where you're arrested.
Oh, there's no question. You literally, in the state of Florida today, can be arrested for counterfeit cocaine.
Right.
If you have a bag of flour in your car, you could go to prison for a decade for possession of counterfeit cocaine because they are implying that you were going to sell it as cocaine.
So if you're...
Can you imagine? I mean, here you are. Think about it. You're a minister. You decide, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wean these people off of crack cocaine. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down to the crack community with sugar, flour, whatever the hell it is, and I'm going to sell it to them. And that way, I will help these people. And oh, by the way, I decide to go to jail for 10 years.
Right.
Oh my God! Well,
what if you're a flower delivery truck driver?
You go to bed. You go
quit,
to
you move you, you to quit. A different country.
No, you go to jail for 100 years.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
Real simple.
And they confiscate your truck.
Right. And they confiscate your truck.
And they sell it on eBay.
Right.
That's right. They had a thing, as a matter of fact, here locally, where the fellow was stealing stuff like from the cops. He was like a cop or whatever.
Marion County.
Yeah. Was it Marion? I thought it was over Putnam. Whatever. Some place around here, and he was stealing the light. What are the blue lights and everything off the top and put them on eBay. No, I'm sure they finally figured, you know, some stuff's missing around here. So I turned on the lights and I turned on the siren and nothing happened.
I noticed the evidence room was kind of cleaned out.
Is he the one who they framed him by doing a bust or something with 26 bags of
that's the guy I was talking
of coke
about.
And he turns in 25.
Right.
This was different. Okay. This was different. But that's,
whatever. I was going to say, come on, man. 25 is pretty good.
Hey, you brought back
25.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, it's obvious he was only doing it for personal consumption. Otherwise, he'd get half.
Exactly. You know?
Of course, they were 4-pound bags.
Yeah. Well, now you, it's just a little joke.
So it was just a night's worth of fun.
That's right. So what's next? I did want to mention something that I got interesting. This has to do with the way governments do things, and we've talked about one of the books that's on our website is Parkinson's Law. Mm-hmm. I love Parkinson's Law. Unfortunately, the book's out of print. You can still get it though on eBay or Libris. Amazon has them. You know, they're fairly cheap, and it's a book that ought to be read. He wrote several books, and what the compendium, the one I like best, is just simply called The Law, which is a condensation of about three of his books or four of his books. But you can get Parkinson's Law, which was the original one written about the mid-50s, and he talks about how governments work, and it's actually a tongue-in-cheek type of thing that von Mises, I think, wrote a book called Bureaucracy, which is the serious study of bureaucracies. Parkinson wrote the tongue-in-cheek version. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the way governments work. And so I have in my hand, I got today, this is a mandate from America, national survey poll. And, of course, it comes in one of these envelopes. It says time-sensitive, registered, you know, owner-only, whatever it is. And it has a registration number on it. It's from Tom DeLay. And it's a survey, and it asked me to fill out these 36 questions. We really care about what you do. And, oh, by the way, would you send us some money? And here's a coupon that you can send with the enclosed envelope, and you know, you can contribute to the Mandate from America thing. Well, okay, let's examine this on a little different level. First of all, the Mandate from America, obviously, what they're trying to do is to go on the coattails for Newt Gingrich, which was the contract with America.
Contract on America?
Contract with America. Yeah, contract. Well, that's right. That's what the lefty people tried to get it to do. The mandate from America. Of course, unfortunately, they screwed up, as you would expect. There's 36 things on here, number one, instead of 10. So right away, it's expanded to, like, who, you know. And, of course, the questions are the ones that the questions are the straw man type questions.
You Give us a few examples.
Do you still beat your mother? Okay. Let's see. Do you support medical liability reform to help rein in unnecessary health care costs? I mean, I'm just picking out.
That's I love it.
No, I don't. No,
I don't. We like more
unnecessary costs. Yeah, I don't know about that. And
well, they load these questions for you so you don't have to.
Well, apparently.
Do you favor the concept of federally funded school vouchers that would permit low-income parents to place their children in better-performing private schools? Well, I mean, there's 9 things in that question. You know, yes or no?
Yes.
Now, it was funny because I was telling Mrs. Jimmy, she yeah. showed me this, and she says, she filled it out. She filled it out.
Man.
And yes, very important, yada, right, yada. Right.
Is this one of those things where they're all yes or something?
Yeah, they're all yes, except one, I think, that she... She doesn't agree with the president's position on stem cell research. I go, okay, whatever. And she actually wrote in, change the word here. She actually put a little note on P.S. No, I don't agree with this.
On a
scanned in form. Okay, wait a minute. And she signed it.
Right.
She put her name and address, which will ensure it's three. You know, and she's going to send it back with a check. And I said, let me tell you what's going to happen. They have a machine that cuts this open, and it shakes the envelope. It shakes the envelope. And if a check comes out, and otherwise the robot arm automatically takes this and sticks it in a shredder. I said, you don't seriously think.
Shredder.
I mean, you can't seriously think that they're going to actually look at this. She read.
Does it say anywhere on there advertisement purposes only?
No.
Of course, they're exempt from the advertising rules.
They are exempt, but it says, not deductible for charitable income.
Not deductible. This goes directly into Tom DeLay's pocket. This is not a 501.
Well, it's just, I mean, you look through this, and of course, as I say, it came in an official looking envelope that you think, if I don't open this, you know, somebody's going to show up with a gun.
Exactly.
And, you know, or they're going to, strip search if I don't. So, I mean, it's just, this is such a joke, the mandate from America. But I mean, my point is, what's so jokey about this in a way is that it's 36 questions. It's expanded. I suppose the next one's going to be 112 questions they're going to expect you to answer. And the one good piece of news, I guess, about the contract with America, which was about 10 years ago, was it was 10 questions, which, of course, it kind of allies itself with the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people think that the Ten Commandments are engraved in stone. I don't know what they are. But no, they
Hey, that's pretty funny. Jimmy, don't. I love it.
But
the questions are going to be next time. It's going to be, do you want to vote Republican because you love children?
That's right.
Exactly. Do you believe in the American way?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, what kind of stupid stuff is this? So I try to tell Ms. Jimmy, I said, they're after the money. And she said, but I thought this was kind of important stuff. And I said, yeah, it's like they're really going to read this thing and where you've checked it. I said, what a joke this is. So anyway, this is typical of...
And who was the guy who produced this piece of paper?
Thomas DeLay. Because
Tom DeLay.
He's going to get in some trouble for some of the stuff he's done, and now he's starting to raise money for his defense fund.
When you send
fund.
Checks in, does this go to like his Swiss bank account? Or
no,
where?
His defense fund.
Oh, you know? His defense fund.
Oh, absolutely.
No, actually, it does go to the National Republican Committee or whatever it is. And of course, that's one of the reasons why...
it's a soft
National
money Republican contributor in Texas,
soft money,
right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Soft money.
Well, that's the reason why I'm gonna file this over here.
Yeah, there we go. Right next to the other one.
A round file. Okay, that's good. Yeah, they it's just it's fascinating to me to see how those people think that I guess they can fool enough people, and it'd be interesting to find out how much money they actually did get from something like that. So anyway, that I think pretty much takes care of that. Anything else you got to do?
I noticed they wanted to create a bird flu czar.
Ooh. No, stop it!
Oh! I'm glad you brought that up. I am glad you brought that up because we mentioned very briefly in the last issue about Turkey.
Yeah,
that it was kind of ironic that they're killing turkeys in Turkey or birds in Turkey.
Stop it.
No, seriously, they are because they found that they've got the avian flu over there, which is you'd expect, of course. And, I mean, it's kind of like. Where do you want to buy your fine tableware from? Well, of course, it comes from China. Duh. You know. So
is that where my turkey comes from now, too?
No, your turkey comes from Turkey. I mean, look, this is why they name these countries this way. It's pretty obvious,
oh my
you know.
Gosh.
So anyway.
China.
China. That's what I just said.
I know. And I was just commenting on it.
Yeah, okay. And of course, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you a trick question. Mm-hmm. We've got a new town here that they just incorporated down the road here called Prostituteville. what do you think they sell?
Beef jerky.
Yeah. Jerky is right. And you got it partially right. You're almost there.
Condoms. Is that penicillin and
Z-Pax.
Yeah. No, it's like they sell poles from
Viagra.
Poland or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, of course. That's why they name these countries this way. So anyway, go ahead. So,
well, a bird flu czar. What I can't believe is that America has this thing with czars. And what is this?
That really surprises me because our biggest enemy for the longest period of time
was the czar.
Well,
we were friends back then. But think about what a czar does.
Czars
go out and they rule and they kill people. By the millions.
They're despots.
And now America
right?
wants a czar. We want a czar for everything.
No, they do. Absolutely everything. They got a
czar crazy.
They got czar
yeah.
crazy.
Czar.
That's
and,
right.
And czar is one letter off from an anagram for crazy.
You are exactly right.
It's almost there.
Hi.
Well, I just can't believe that they're doing this kind of stuff. I can't believe that everybody is just so easily acquiescing to the calls for czars for these central
and,
control.
And of course they're going to set up a big thing. It's going to cost a lot of money. The question is, and this actually is what you really want. What I would like to get into is: are we all going to die?
Because from the bird flu, right?
From the bird flu.
Oh, yeah. Clarify that.
They have said it's not if but when. They're going to have a huge pandemic. The 1918 one would kill 20 million. We talked about this a little bit. 20 million locally and 100 million or whatever. 50 million worldwide. And now, of course, we're so much more crowded. Are we all going to die? And what do we do?
Kill all the birds.
Well, I can tell you the answer.
The czar.
Kill all the czars. It sounds to me like we have a czar problem.
Yeah, just plethora of czars.
Well, yeah, and I can tell you that the solution is not a czar.
No, it's not. Well, they are going to wump up some flu. A virus.
Exactly.
Vaccine.
They're going to create a bird flu virus.
To kill the birds.
No, so they can create the bird flu virus vaccine.
Right.
Right.
And they're going to release the bird flu virus accidentally before they get the vaccine and kill everybody.
Nah, it's well protected.
Yeah, we're not worried
about it.
It's in a box.
It's in a box. That's right.
In a bigger box.
It's in deep freeze. I'm not worried about it.
Guarded by two guys that work for the government.
But it will be interesting to see when this thing starts, what panic will set in, and I don't know, is FEMA going to show up again? Or are we going to, you know?
Oh, no. Well, you know, George is already preparing for it. And I do have to give him credit for that, no matter what. Right, he's already thought about it seriously.
He's appointed one of his secretaries as a czar?
Appointed one of his daughters as a as a quarantine czar. You have to realize somebody's better think about it until, you know, before.
Well, we
it
have
happens.
The CDC. I don't know why we need a czar, but we have the CDC.
I don't think we need a czar either, but I do think we need a quarantine.
I mean, Justin Hoffman, you know, he was in that movie.
Let's hire him. He knows.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
He did a great
job. Every company from Merck to Pfizer is out there busting their butts, spending hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, The little problem with the virus is you got to be like certified in order to do it.
Right. Not everybody is actually.
Yeah, you have to have a special.
License.
You have to. That's
you
what
have
happened.
A permit.
That's what happened last year. Everything
is trademarked.
Because one of the British company last year, yeah, you know, they right. had a bad batch, and all of a sudden, whoa! And it was interesting because they had figured out they had enough last year for last year's the flu virus, as you well know, is different every year.
Correct.
It's slightly
right.
different every year because of the way it mutates. How many people died from flu last year, in spite of the fact that like three. I mean, it was no. You didn't hear about it. So anyway, they're worried about the pandemic, as they say. I guess maybe it's something to worry about. I'm not too worried about it. You know, bring out your dead.
Well, 20 million people in 1918. The majority of those individuals, I'm guessing, were not well to begin with. Their immune systems were compromised. And that's not saying much about someone in 1918. That's the majority of the people in this country had compromised immune systems because...
They said it wiped out healthy people straight off the bat 2 days later.
Really?
Dead.
Yep. Yeah. You got it, you died.
I thought it was... Yeah. Well, the mortality rate was 30% or something like that. But
when you get in your car and you drive down I-75 or whatever and you start to see dead people laying all over the place, turn around.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Okay. Roll up your window.
Roll up your window.
Right.
And if your eyes start bleeding while you're driving, go to your enemy's house.
Right.
Well, I just can't believe America's so prosecutorial these days. It's like I noticed they've loosed the attorneys general on the gas prices.
It is unbelievable how people don't understand the workings of the market. I was reading this morning's paper that the gas prices from a year ago are exactly $1 more. Exactly $1. It's three. The average here locally is $3 and a penny, and it was $2 a penny a year. No, but you don't notice any rioting in the streets. And of course, it's still compared to Europe, it's still half price.
Well, it's all voluntary exchange,
right?
You don't want to buy the gas, don't buy it.
That's the nice thing about something like gas is that you can change your habits in about a nanosecond. You don't have to have anybody tell you to do it. You can just go look at the pump and have your eyeballs pop out and say, "Ooh, I'm not doing that." And no, but they've already given everybody warning. The simple fact is they told me that my heating bill is going to go up 40% this winter. Well, I got a newsflash for you. I bought a new sweater. I'm serious.
On eBay, no less.
Yeah, on eBay. No, don't laugh.
I knew. In fact, I did.
No, I'm dead serious. If you think for 2 seconds that I'm going to be paying that extra money, you're nuts.
Right.
And I've already made the decision. I spent $30 on a sweater, and I'm going to save, $1,000 on fuel this winter. Now, when we come into Jimmy Doan's show... We'll have to see. Bring your jackets because it'll be nippy in here.
It'll be nippy. Can we get a window unit and
a window
heater unit?
Bring your sweater.
Because I want to plug it into your wall unit socket here so I can,
you can plug it in. You can get yourself a 40-mile extension cord and use your own.
Come on, man.
Generator.
That's it. No, we're not going to do that. I had something else I wanted to talk about, and I forgot what it was.
The education
cheap
thing.
Jimmy Doan is. Oh, what?
Yeah.
The education thing.
Yeah, because, in fact...
That's right. You were talking about the size of the school.
Well, our friend from Ohio was talking about this as well, and I think that this is something that we can really get into. There is a huge article in today's paper, and this actually is nationwide, called Classroom Imbalances. And the fact is that here in town, the school people, the school board, and the county runs it, and the school board is financed separately on your taxes. When they talk about raising taxes, county taxes here in Alachua County, they're not talking about the school board. All the school board wants to raise their portion. It shows up on your property taxes, but it's they are an independent agency, and they get $250 million a year out of us, out of 200,000 people in the county.
$250 million.
Yeah, 250. They get the school board has a budget of about $275 million. Now, not all of that is property tax is collected on the property tax bill. They do get some money from the state and from the feds, which is also us, of course. So it's not they don't get any from Louisiana or any place, but they get it from us. But the thing that's so funny about this, in a way, is they have, I was looking here, they have 303 portable buildings countywide. And the problem they've got is that the nasty people here in Alachua County keep wanting to live over on the west side of town. And the school board, in its infinite wisdom, wants people to live on the east side of town. So they're not building the schools fast enough on the west side of town, so they're overcrowded. And then in order to equal it out, they bus all those people over to the east side of town to the old schools. Even though everybody will tell you that 5, 10, 15 years from now, that the west side of Gainesville basically is migrating out past I-75. It's at the current rate, Gainesville will be in the Gulf of Mexico in about 40 years.
which is way west of here.
So, deal with it. That's what's happening. I mean, the simple fact is, if you drive out 10 miles out of town, I mean, where it was cow pasture and grassland deserted, and nobody was. It is now populated, and deal with it. It is what's happening, and it's like a it's
like a big worm.
It's like a big slug.
Right.
It's like a slug. It's, you know, it's moving. It's oozing out to the west, and deal with it. The simple fact is that nobody wants to live on in East Gainesville. I'm sorry, you just don't. And the more you subsidize it, you keep people there in poverty, mm-hmm. in crazy things. You keep them there longer than they should be. I'm saying, hey, folks, you're on your own. Everybody wants to move west. We're going out. We take our money. The money for East Gainesville comes from the west anyway. Has to, certainly. Doesn't come from them, or else it'd be self-sufficient. So deal with it. And they sit there, and they know that they're going to need 9 new schools out west of town. They know it today, and they're not going to build them. And then they come in. Here's the big article. Much ink spent here on this article. And they and they are just astounded to find out that the schools are overcrowded. And, of course, what do you suppose the solution is that the school board has come up with?
Send the kids
to the taxes.
Raising
taxes.
You get an award. Wow. EJ wins the prize.
Ding, 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 ding.
That's right. And for you.
I thought they were going to send them to Louisiana.
Yeah, right. Well, they have a lot of empty, moldy buildings there.
You're right.
That's right.
Well, so the classroom size is way down out there.
I understand that. Yes, the number of people
number
actually
of people,
attending.
Right.
Yeah, the rooms themselves haven't shrunk.
Well,
much.
Some of them have.
Yeah, some of them. That's right. They are. I tell you, you could go over there and learn how to raise mushrooms. I guess because they're all moldy. I mean, they're going to have a good mushroom crop. This
Boy,
year.
That is a mold man's paradise right now. But
and you know when you I was doing something some research years ago about mold. Mold is really
healthy.
No. We didn't say that. But it's where the entire universe, all of life is devolving towards mold.
I collect spores, molds, and funguses.
Yeah, that's right.
Ghostbusters, beautiful.
Anyway, the deal is that a solution that they have never come up with is to let the market figure it out.
Not yet.
No, and the fact is that even something as sort of almost peripherally, right on the edge, market-oriented, like vouchers, it is like kryptonite. Kryptonite to the school. You sit there and say, you want a parent to make a decision? Whoa! Oh, God, no. You know, they hold up the cross. Where's the garlic?
Well,
they don't want to have
it.
It
goes back to your pillar, which is that if you attack somebody's livelihood, they fight like hell.
That's right. That's exactly right. So anyway.
We've talked about this before, too. With the if you have 11... $1,000 per child getting the money, you know, getting spent on them, and you have 30 of them in a classroom. That's $330,000 to educate them,
right,
for the year.
And of course, the kids get zero. The teacher gets that.
That's
and the
right.
building. Well, you can do a little. What do you call it, a little business plan?
That's what I was thinking.
It turns out that if you're the teacher in there, uh-huh. you can make yourself about $100,000.
Yep, you can make yourself $100,000 and feed the kids
and feed the kids. Every, that's right.
And have them all new computers and whatever.
And they can go out in the yard and play.
Yep.
You know, a little PE.
Wow. I mean, that's you should
kick
have
the
money
can.
For insurance
yep.
to cover the
no,
whole
no. I did. Let me tell you, I did a little. And of course, the problem is that if you try and do that, they have to be licensed. You'll be arrested, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the guild system. It's medieval. The deal is, I figured out that the break-even point, if you want to call it that, the point where you could really maximize your income and revenue for the peak would be around 250 students. And at on like 7 grades or something like that. Mm-hmm. And at that level, you could have, you know, 15 to 20 per classroom. And I figured in the rent, the overhead, the everything else that's included in it, and I figured that the teachers involved would march off with about $80,000 a year.
Right. And then, of course, they're making that now.
Oh. Yeah, right.
Well, what's the cost? Oh, you're talking about the cops.
What's the cost that it takes to send a private student to school per annum?
I think it's around 11,000. Now, to be fair, out of that 11,000, a bunch of that is for mortgages and bond paybacks for the capital structures. The actual money that's spent on the actual student is around 6,000.
Well, but you have to include all the bricks and mortar as well.
That comes up to about 11,000. I've done the math on that. But the point is that what they say is the reason we don't want these to give vouchers out is that you will skim the cream off the crop. You know, you'll take the good students and leave us with the dregs. And I say, and your point is...
Right, exactly.
And what do you think? Why not?
You're just slowing them down.
Yeah, why exactly. should you suffer? Make the good students suffer When in fact they're the ones that are going to be paying my freight when I'm drooling in a chair in a nursing home. They're the ones that are going to be supposedly, and I want them
twirling
to be
in his chair.
That's right. I want them to be as rich as possible and as smart.
Exactly.
Jimmy, it's time for your meds.
Oh, that's excellent. Right. I want someone to... you definitely got to have someone spinning you, too.
Someone spinning.
Come on.
Well, I want to make sure that there's enough money left over for the babes to come in and give me the sponge.
The spinner! That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I think we need to do probably a big show on education.
We're going
to
do that.
We need to declare war on the education system.
And then lose.
That's the hope. I mean,
that's the hope. I mean, and they've lost it already. I mean, the problem is that this is what they call a Pyrrhic victory. Nobody wins so far.
Well, except for the chairman of the board or whatever.
Well, no, that's right. No, some of those people, and of course, a lot of those people do get to move on up the food chain.
Dean Boyd
and run for not him so much, but they get to move up the food chain as far as being a representative and a senator and so forth and so on. A lot of times they once they get the taste of power.
They
have the power to take this.
Well, it's easy when the government's giving you a big check and there's no accountability.
I can tell you this much: when they're collecting, literally collecting pencils over at the health club to give to the kids because they don't have any, I'm thinking, where's the money going? That kind of thing. You know, we're gonna do a whole show on that. I think that we are. Oh, there's one thing I did want to mention before we go, to show this the way governments work. There was an article in today's paper. It's Singular erects new cell tower in Alachua County. This is about a 200-foot tower. And they're talking about how it's going to service 2 or 3 or 4 mile radius, whatever it is. And it turns out, I didn't realize this before, but a lot of where these towers are going to go in and what's going to be like secret. Can't be that secret. But the point is that there's...
It should be on an airplane map, right?
Well, no, everybody's got their own stuff in their engineering studies. But I thought it was interesting. Here's Alachua County, if you talk to at least one of the commissioners, they say, business unfriendly? Not us. We're the friendliest people, and we want business here. And, of course, everybody who's real people know that's a joke. Here's the paragraph. He said, and this is, I forget somebody here who was talking about this. He said, while the process to site the tower took more than 2 years, it took only a short time to prepare the foundation and a day or two to erect the metal tower. So think about it. They spent 700 days getting approval and a day to put it up. And you ask yourself...
That's what I call a singular erection, no doubt about it.
There is no question about it. I mean, it shows you that these people value... They worship at the altar of process. They don't care about the...
the altar of process.
They worship. This is it, the process altar. We don't care anything else. As long as we do the process, don't care. That's exactly what it is.
They live for the process.
No, they do. That's their God. They're right. God. It's the process.
I don't mind process so much, but obviously it's bogged them down to...
700 days of process and one day to put it up.
Well, but the alternative to having process is no process, which means that they make
the
decision...
But why does it have to be no process? Why can't there be some sort of happy medium?
Well, just think about it logically for a second. I mean, if there's any process, then there's a process.
Right.
I mean, there has to be a process. But that's why they worship at that altar so thoroughly, is because what it shows is they're abiding by some sort of known decision process. Because the alternative to that is them making the unilateral decision, singular, take off. Go erect your tower somewhere else. We don't want you here.
Or it's we don't have the right to tell you where you can put it. You can put it any place you want. If you mow the land, you can do it. We don't have the right to tell you where not to put it.
Well, my point is, once you've given them the authority, then you have to give them a process.
No, that's true. But the question in my mind is, why should they have the authority?
Well, they shouldn't. I mean, this seems to be...
The market... I mean, of course, what right away is the people over here in Suburban Heights are going to say, well, what happens if somebody wants to put an atomic regeneration plant in my bed?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's
right. Will it decrease my electric bill?
Definitely.
Will it affect my property values? You put a junkyard out there that's...
Well, you know, it might. Too bad.
Close your blinds.
One other thing I want to mention real quick. I noticed that people are outsourcing little things to India now.
Did you see that?
Like phone calls and email. They've got these groups, these rooms of people over there that'll work cheap, obviously. And what you do is you send them your list of calls that you have to make or your list of emails or whatever. And then they do it for you. And so they'll call up your electric company and say, well, you know, pleased to be in there.
Be meeting you now.
But this one guy...
Wait a minute now. They'll call up your electric company and complain about the bill or something?
Or whatever.
They don't mind being on hold.
It's like your personal assistant in Bombay or Bangladesh or something.
Right, exactly. And with this one guy, actually, this one guy actually outsourced fighting with his wife.
Oh wow!
No way.
He had his Indian girl named Asha call up and say, "Well, honey, you know, I did not do the thing that you asked me to do, but you do not always do the things I ask you to do." Also, he said that she was very diplomatic about it and did a better job than he could have done.
Right. But, oh my god, that's so great!
But I just thought it was interesting that the trivial things that we get bogged down with on a daily basis, sometimes answering the phone, which I do all the time.
The entire studio here has devolved into paroxysms of laughter because Curtis literally never answers his phone.
What I need, obviously, is an Indian assistant.
Obviously.
Your next call you're going to get from me is going to be, Curtis would like to talk to you right now.
God, but he's far too busy doing something that we can talk about.
He's very busy doing nothing, but he will get back to you as soon as he's
No. What the aide does is... Hello, this is Curtis calling. What do you want to talk to me about?
What do you want to talk to me about now?
Right. This is Curtis. I'm listening.
I'm Curtis. I'm Curtis talking to you here now.
Yeah, I like it.
So anyway, this is America expanding. This is open trade. This is free. This is free trade.
That's what I'm talking about. Increase in
productivity. It's all a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. That's right.
What about the officials call speak English sign discriminatory?
Oh, my God. I lost that little sheet. What is that?
Here it is, if you want it. Well, I can kind of read it off.
Yeah, do read this. This is phenomenal. This is beyond belief. Oh, is this the one?
It says, this is Columbus, Ohio. The Ohio Civil Rights Commission has ruled a sign in a window of a Southwest Ohio tavern declaring for service speak English. And then they declared that was discriminatory. And so the business has 10 days to, I guess.
Are you telling me?
Well, the question is, I want to ask our attorney here, how could you phrase that sign? Because, you know, Your Honor, I'm going to rephrase. So how would you rephrase that sign?
Can't do it.
Can't do it?
Can't say something like, we do not understand other than English?
Nope. There's civil rights commissions, and the civil rights commissions everywhere are enforcing these rules when they have the effect of discrimination. Therefore, you could be intending something totally different. You could be trying to get your customers to speak and do whatever you want. But no, if the effect is discriminatory...
So if you put a sign that said, we don't speak Croatian, they could get you for that?
Potentially. If somebody complained the right way and Ronnie Earl or some other erstwhile prosecutor
we don't speak, you know, we don't speak Croatian here. And you put that in the sign instead of we don't speak English.
Let me tell you, if a Croatian person goes there and they complain... And they go down to the right person, and they get a hold of Ronnie Earl.
Can you imagine? I mean, here we are. This is the sub.
This is unbelievable.
You're down at you're at not McDonald's, but you're at George's Hardware Store, and you say we don't speak Croatian in the sign, and somebody complains. I mean, they would really come around and arrest you.
It all depends on what the cojones of the prosecutor are. If the prosecutor wants to take you to task for that, they've got the law out there.
But then when you go in front of the judge and you say, Your Honor, what's the charge?
The charge is discrimination under the Civil Rights Act.
But we don't speak Croatian.
Is that my crime?
I mean, the fact is I don't speak Croatian, Your Honor.
Your crime is you're making it more difficult for the Croatian people to shop at your business than everybody else.
By not speaking
you're discriminating
their language.
Them on their ethnic heritage. And
by not speaking their language.
Well, and not by not speaking their language, but by putting it out there in a way that's quote-unquote offensive.
By acknowledging that I don't speak their language.
That's right. Okay. By putting a sign up there to make it easier for them.
Oh, my God. Sue me, please.
Well, you know, you say that.
Give it time.
It's amazing to me. I remember being in Amsterdam and seeing a sign on a door on a restaurant. Wanted, worker, white female, awesome. 18 or 19 years old, must be Catholic. I mean, every type of discrimination.
And swallowed.
Well,
exactly.
You know, and, you know, I remember there are signs you can buy, actually, ancient, you know, that they show on Antiques Roadshow, that you have to buy, and it'll say, help wanted, Irish need not apply.
Right, right. Or I've seen something like Negroes need not apply.
Well, no, that's given, old. But, I mean, yeah. That's, but I'm talking about...
But, you know, we Irish people, we were discriminated against in a big way.
Yeah, here in the States, that's for sure. Well, but I'm wondering if the guy could put it... I mean, he's obviously making a statement of some kind when he says... What does it say again?
Well, he got pissed off. He got pissed off to people coming in there and speaking foreign language.
Well, yeah, and of course the question then is, what happens if you come in and you have like a really heavy accent that you can't understand, and you call it English? I mean... I don't understand. What are you saying there, buddy?
I in a smagabagarakadina rarik in by the hay in a fryer.
Oy, in the wind cried, Mary.
Well, of course, you can say anything you want, but if you put the sign up there that says, you know, we don't speak a la fryer or whatever, then,
right.
You know, then you could get in trouble. And I bet you these people go down for it.
What's the punishment?
Oh, it's hideous. Right. It could be prison, years in prison, a business-busting fine.
A business-busting fine.
Can you imagine?
The business
well,
is
I'll
going
tell you,
down.
Well, that's it. That's it. I'm you know, I'm going to... Lo siento, pero habla español. You know, whatever. I'm going to start speaking español.
Well, of course, our point is that everybody shouldn't have to worry about it. So.
Okay, we beat that to death.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
I just got two little things
okay.
For light notes. Beethoven's manuscript expected to fetch big bucks. Apparently, they found a working document in a Philadelphia religious school, and they're going to auction off at Sotheby's. I thought that was kind of cool.
What is it? Is it a manuscript?
It's an actual, very rare script because it was written for dual pianos.
Wow!
And it was a working script. It's unfinished.
Okay, so what's light about this? How does
I
this
thought it was kind of well,
good
I mean,
news.
As a musician?
Because it was on the...
as
yes.
a keyboardist. Yes.
And, you know, I thought it was kind
of
cool.
Wow. Now we're going to run a few of those off on this intellectual property. We're going to run a few
yeah,
off
right. Yeah, right. Let's thing, see who know. Owns the copy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then burglar calls police after finding corpse. A Dutch burglar phoned police after fleeing in panic when he found the corpse of an 89-year-old woman in a house he broke into.
Oh, jeez.
Can you...
Only to find out that the dumbass broke into the morgue.
Yeah. So, thank you all for listening in again. The Jimmy Doan Show here, jimmydoan.com. Don't forget to keep those emails coming in.
We love to get them.
And the appropriate ones we'll read on the air here.
Or you can post something on the blog.
That's right.
Yeah, we've got a blog up on
that's right. That's right. We're looking forward to that. And, next time I'm going to talk about the wacko left-wing guy that I really like. It's called Radical... What is it called? Radical... I can't remember.
And we also promised him we'd talk about the Supreme Court cases.
Yeah, we're going to do that, too. We'll do that. Anyway, come back. It'll be a couple of days. Today is Thursday, so we're going to do a show Sunday. Should be mixed by Tuesday. So hopefully Tuesday you'll... Make sure you come in Tuesday. And also put your, what do you call it, sir? Check in with the pickle blog or whatever it is. You know, eat my pickle podcast or something. Yeah, whatever. And give us a 5-star rating review. We appreciate it. Right. Move up the thing there. Okay.
I think we're going to get a voiceover for that announcement.
Yeah. So we'll do that. Anyway, we're going to do this. Okay, thanks again.
Hey, everybody.
Have a good time, and we'll see you
on the flip side.
Yeah, on the flip side. Bye-bye.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.